You are listening to BensTorah.com.
One of the major themes that are contained in the Megillas Esther is the concept of the attempt of the Amalekim of that generation to destroy the Jewish people. The manifestation of Amalek is seen in the personality of Haman, who is a direct descendant of Amalek, going back to the Zman of the king of Amalek at the time of Shaul HaMelech. And the aspiration and desire to commit total genocide against the Jewish people is mentioned very explicitly in the words of the Megillah, Hashmid la'abed eskola Yehudim, and all the various categories of men, women, and children are mentioned in the actual text of the Megillah Esther. It is the tradition that we have that since the Megillah Esther highlights the threat of Amalek to the Jewish people throughout the generations, and the response of Klal Yisrael to fight back and to destroy Amalek before Amalek has a chance to destroy us. Habala hagecha hashkin v'hago, as the Gemara says, if a person comes to kill you, you should take the initiative to kill them first and get rid of this specific sone from having the ability to destroy us on any level whatsoever. The mitzvah, the milchemes mitzvah of killing Amalek is a mitzvah deraisa. And we'll see very shortly, it's enumerated in the Tayag mitzvos, which the Rabban Shem gave us going back to Har Sinai. We therefore have a tradition is that the Shabbos right before we are about to celebrate Purim, we read what's called Pashas Zachar, and that is the prelude to prepare us for the Yontav of Purim, joining the Hashkafas of the Megillas Esther to that of Pashas Zachar, to show that they're dealing with the same exact subject matter. What I want to do this morning is give you a very comprehensive analysis of the major concepts of Pashas Zachar. And I want to start off with a very interesting fact when it comes to the mentioning of Amalek in our Torah itself. The Pasha that we read, our Pasha Zachar this coming Shabbos, is contained at the end of Pashas Kisetze in Sefer Devarim. The Pasha reads, Zachar es asher asah l'Amalek b'der Mitzrayim in Mitzrayim. We should remember what Amalek tried to do to us as we left Egypt, heading towards Har Sinai. Asher korcha b'derech, he met us in the middle of the highway. He caused the weakening and perhaps the loss of a certain small, weak segment of our population. We were very exhausted at that point in time. And many of us would say this refers to actually the enemy itself. As Rashi says, Amalek had no fear of God whatsoever. All the miracles that were witnessed by the world at large and by the Egyptian Empire firsthand, of the ultimate Hashgacha Pratis, the divine providence of God, God's omniscience, and God's ultimate ability to punish those individuals who want to rebel against the Ribbono Shel Olam, want to rebel against Klal Yisrael, and who have all different types of nefarious machshavos concerning the existence of Klal Yisrael and Torah and the Jewish religion, that the Ribbono Shel Olam could obviously sees it all, knows it all. As I said, he's omniscient, Hashgacha Pratis. But Hashem is also omnipotent. Nothing can stand in Hashem's way. Even the most powerful army on the face of this earth, which happened to be Egypt at that time, cannot have any power in their military power against the military power of the divine essence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He's omnipotent, the all-powerful one. And if you have to be punished, you can be the most powerful nation on the face of the earth. In the past, in the present, in the future, you will not be able to have any standing in front of the Ribbono Shel Olam, the greatest nations on the face of this earth in world history. The Babylonian Empire, the Persian Empire, the Greek Empire. Later on, we have the Roman Empire, the Turkish Empire, and the current Arab Empire. They've tried many times to get rid of Klal Yisrael and their Torah, eradicate us, but they never succeeded, because when they did that, the Ribbono Shel Olam came into the picture, and the ones who were eradicated were the members of the Babylonian Empire, the Persian Empire, the Greek Empire, and the Roman Empire, even the Turkish Empire. And the Arabs have tried over the years to eliminate us. The Nisim Niflaos we witnessed with our own eyes, the Six-Day War, the War of Hakamas HaMedina, going back to 1948, and the successive wars of terrorism we have been, unfortunately, subject to from the time of the establishment of the State of Israel to the present. They try and try and try. They try to stir up the path of anti-Eretz Israel and anti-Semitism around the world. They've succeeded in having the UN, who initially granted the Jewish people the right and privilege to establish a Jewish homeland in Eretz Israel. All of a sudden, they've tried to rile up this institution that the whole world should come against this and want to eliminate the Jewish Medina. But nothing has helped this force of anti-Semitic Amalekim to succeed. Today I want to share with you some very interesting verses as we read through the Parsha. And Hashem says in Parshas Ki Tzeitzei, V'ayikuniach Hashem Elokecha mechol avecha misaviv, Parsha Hashem says, Noseh lach nachla rishta, then we have the zuchus to going living in Eretz Israel, Jewish homeland has been established. We have a mandate. Teimutha ezech amalach mithachas v'shemar lo tishkach. Eradicate the threat of Amalek from under the heavens of this earth. Do not forget what they've tried to do to us in the past, so we should be prepared to deal with them in the present and the future. This is the Parsha Zachor we read on this coming Shabbos. And in fact, when it comes to the Rambam in his Sefer HaMitzvos, and later on the Sefer HaChinuch in his Sefer HaMitzvos, it's the psukim in Parshas Ki Tzeitzei that are used to teach us the various halachos that relate to the concept of remembering what Amalek did. Just to paraphrase what the Rambam says in his halachos in Hilchos Malachim, where he brings down the halach lamasa concerning Amalek. The Rambam says there's a mitzvah say la'abed Amalek, to destroy Amalek, shenema tim chazech Amalek, the pasuk I just read in Parshas Ki Tzeitzei. And furthermore, there's a mitzvah asay, liska tamid masa v'arave v'avaso, to remember what the evil deeds of Amalek have been throughout the generations, and the continual desire to try to figure out ways to get rid of us, to destroy us, with all different types of techniques, all different types of calculations, military and political. Why should we do this? Kedei la'orei vaso, that we should not lose our personality trait of being cautious and be concerned with the ultimate enmity that they have towards us, and therefore our concern and steadfastness to be concerned with that and deal with it in a very constructive, powerful way. Shenema zachar she'asav Amalek, never forget what Amalek has tried to do for us, or against us, for thousands of years. V'pishmua lamdu zachar is v'peh, to mention it with my mouth, make a declaration, le'sishkach, and even in my heart when I'm not talking, to think about the threat, she'aslashkach, evaslashkach, we should never ever forget the enmity, the hatred, the sinas chinam that Amalek has from us, being the ultimate inheritor of the heritage of Esav, The Chazal say halacha biyadua she'esev seinei Yaakov. Esev throughout all world history to the end will maintain the hatred and sinner for Yaakov and will always try to attempt to get rid of them if they possibly can. This is what we read on Parshas Zoch on Shabbos. And this is the source of all the mitzvahs of Asir Melosah, say, mentioned by the Rambam in Hilchus Malachim Perek Hamishi Halacha Hei. Now, however, what many people don't take note of is that there is another Pasha of Amalek that is contained in the Torah in Pashas B'Shalach. And what we have in Pasha B'Shalach is a little different text. The text over there tells us when and where Amalek attacked us, when we were in a place called Vefidim. We find Yeshua being told by Moshe Rabbeinu to pick people of our Jewish army to fight Amalekim and to go out and make a war with them. We find Moshe and together with Aaron Vachor, with davening to Hashem during the momentary milchama and confrontation, and ultimately Yeshua was able to weaken Amalek at that point in time and win momentarily. But then we find in the next two psukim a very powerful charge. Vayom Hashem el Moshe, kishazo zikaron b'sefer, write this in a book. Sim ba'ozna Yeshua, ki mocho emcha zecha Amalek mitachas ha-shamayim, that I will eradicate the Amalek from under the heaven. Moshe built him his bed to give Vaidot to Hashem, and then Hashem says, ki yod al keska, the hand that they're trying to put forth is against the kisei HaKavod of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Amalekim are trying to make war not only with the Jews, but with the God of the Jews. Milchama l'Hashem v'Amalek dar v'dar. This war will continue until the end of time, when Hashem will put an end to it and eliminate this threat from the face of this earth. Now, what's interesting to note, which many people do not really take note of, is that the phraseology of dealing with Amalek in Parshas B'Shalach is not the same lashon which you find in Parshas Ki Tzeitzei. In Parshas Ki Tzeitzei, Rabbanu Shalom says to us, Timche, you have to fight a war to eliminate Amalek. In Parshas B'Shalach, Hashem just told Yeshua momentarily to do it, but Hashem says ultimately, who is eradicating Amalek? Mocha Emche, I'm going to eliminate Amalek from under the heavens. They're fighting a war against me. I will make sure I will deal with them on my divine level, use my omniscience and omnipotence, how to deal with them and get rid of this threat that it should never exist for eternity. And they will be gotten rid of for eternity at the proper time, at the proper place, when Hashem has the desire to do such. Kiyad al Keska. Interesting to note, both parshas deal with the eradication of Amalek. What many people do not take note of is that the party charged with eliminating Amalek is different than both parshas. What we read in Parshas Ki Tzeitzei, where it says Timcha Zecha Amalek, we read this on Shabbos Kodesh of Parshas Zohar. The charge is given to us, the Klal Yisrael, Timcha, you should eradicate. You make the Milchemes Mitzvah. In Parshas B'Shalach, when it comes to Amalek, Hashem says, I'm going to do it. I'm going to eradicate Amalek forever. Mocha emche. So the obvious question that people ask is, what is it? Is it Hashem's mitzvah? Is it our mitzvah? What's fascinating to note, that in the Rambam Sefer HaMitzvos, in the Sefer Mitzvos of the Sefer Chinuch and everybody else, the pasuk Mocha emche is never nimna as one of the Tayag mitzvahs. The pasuk Tincha Ezech Amalek is enumerated in the Tayyak Mitzvahs. which should already give us an indication that the concept Bacha Emcha is a different responsibility and a different type of Mechias Amalek that is mentioned by Timcha and Pasha's Kisaitse. I'd like to share with you a perspective over here. This ultimately emanates back to the world of the Brisket dynasty, going back to Reb Chaim. I heard a lot of this from my own Rebbe Rav, Yosef Soloveitchik Zatzal, who was the Einikel of Reb Chaim, representing the Hashkafas of Brisk of Azeda. Soloveitchik heard this from Reb Moshe Soloveitchik, his father as well, B'Shem Reb Chaim. And basically, what we have over here is the following concept. There are two problems with Amalek. Number one, their anti-Semitic attitude towards the Jews and to the God of the Jews and to the religion of the Jews. This dates back not just to Amalek HaKadmoni, but to Esav. Halacha B'yadua, as I mentioned before, it's a known fact of our oral Torah tradition that Esav is son of Yaakov, no matter what Esav says, no matter all the games and theatrical statements they make publicly, in their inner core they have a hatred, an incomprehensible hatred. We can't understand it, to the point they're willing to destroy themselves in order to destroy us. This is what Amalek has tried for thousands of years to do. But there's another problem with Amalek. Besides their hashkafa, their ideology, their theology, their philosophy, in relation to between them and the Jewish people and our Torah and God, they are very, very militant. They will try every type of tactic of warfare they possibly can to try to destroy the Jewish people. If they don't have the political power or the military might to confront us on a battlefield, or are not incarcerated in one of their countries under their total control, where they have an army that's very powerful that could eradicate us if they so desired. We experienced that many times. We experienced that in Egypt, later on in Babylonia, later on in Persia, the Greeks, the Roman Empire. They always, if they can't do it that way, they'll try terrorism, guerrilla warfare, as we see them trying to do even to this day. Unfortunately, Rachmanu Litzlam. There it says, Timchas Nefas Amalek. So the basic way of understanding what Pasha Zof is dealing with and what Pasha's Bishalach is dealing with is the following. When it comes to the imminent threat against the Jewish people on a military level, whether it's an army confronting us like the Six-Day War or the 1948 war against all the Arab world, where we have armies facing us, army against army, or you're dealing with the situation of terrorism, guerrilla warfare, as we experienced since Hakamas Medina to the very present day, the Ribbono Shel Olam says to us, for that I give you a mandate. That mandate is, Timcha, you must be a military entity and fight your Milchemes Mitzvah defensively, and sometimes you even do it offensively to eradicate the Amalek threat that's confronting you at that point in time. And the fact of the matter is, Klal Yisrael have done that over the years and presently as well. IDF is doing whatever it can to try to get rid of the Amalek threat that's confronting us even now in Eretz Israel, using all different types of tactical warfare, not only on the battlefront, but in guerrilla warfare as well, to counter the attempts of Amalek to destroy us. We have a mitzvah, say deraisa, of Timcha. You got to fight a war. Of course we have to daven to Rabbeinu Shalom. Of course we have to say Tehillim. Of course we have to be the doctor of the mitzvahs to get the schlius in Shemayim for Hashem to help us with Tziyata Deshmaya. But we have to be willing and able to fight the war against them to eradicate the threat to our existence. It's existential. Abol HaGech, if someone's trying to kill you, what's the halakha? Abol HaGech, Atki V'Hagel, Gemara says the Sanhedrin. You take the initiative and get rid of them first. A mitzvah of self-defense of Klal Yisrael is a Melchemes mitzvah. You don't need a Melech Sanhedrin for that, or a Navi, or Ul V'Tumim. It's based upon the logic, the concept of Rode V'Nirdaf, on a national level. And if that's the case, when it comes to what we have to do as Klal Yisrael, our self-defense on every level, the Torah says the Pashki Kisaisai, what we do, Timcha. Don't be all of a sudden concerned what the world's going to say. Don't have pity on human beings. I say, how can I kill them in warfare? Salam Elokim. But don't forget, they don't have any pity upon you, your men, women, and children. And they demonstrated that. Who knows how many years. Zachar, remember what they've done to you. Loisishkach, don't forget the pain you've experienced in the past. Be on guard. Be prepared. Basha Zohar is telling us, you have to be activists on every level. Zohar v'al tishkach and timcha. That's our mandate. But there's another problem of Amalek, as I mentioned before. It's not just they're threatening us militarily, but it is ultimately a world philosophy of anti-Semitism that they're representing. That's literally incomprehensible. You can't justify it. You can't explain it. It's in their genes. From the time they're born, they're weaned on the concept, you got to kill Jews. Look in the Quran. Look what it says. Look what it says in the Palestinian Declaration when they form their Palestinian group. They're totally sold on the concept your purpose in this world is to kill Jews, Rahman al-Itzlan. That's your tachlis. That's the way you have a definite guarantee to get the prizes and rewards of the world to come. Be a suicide bomber. Who knows the presence you're going to have when you go to heaven? What God's going to give you there, which I'm not going to go into now. The promises and the false promises made to them. It's a worldwide hatred. A BDS movement. Let's boycott the land of Israel. Cut them off economically. Cut them off socially, politically, militarily. Let's eradicate them. It's a maniacal type of hashkafa. And concerning that, the Rabbeinu Shalom says, my dear Kindelach, my dear Jewish people, you don't have the power, the might, to eradicate anti-Semitism with all the military might you might have, with all the political clout you might possess. You can't eliminate anti-Semitism. The maniacal hatred of the Jewish people. The only entity that can eradicate that is the Rabbeinu Shalom. And for that, Hashem says in Parshas Bishalach, that's my mitzvah. Mocha emcha, I will eradicate that. God has His unique ways to get rid of hashkafas in this world, groups of people in this world, that cause an endangerment not only to the Jewish people, but cause an endangerment to the world at large. We're now in a world where we have world leaders that are doing things now, whether it's military warfare, economic warfare, germ warfare.
You are listening to BensTorah.com.
We now have potential proofs that the COVID-19 virus didn't just happen by nature, but it perhaps emanated from one of the labs in China and caused the spread of this disease that's literally impacted upon the world for so many years now. How many millions of people died because of it? When you're dealing with such an unstable world, full of anti-Semitism and hatred, not only for Jew, but for other people that stand in their way, the only one who could correct that is the Ribbono Shel Olam, who controls the ultimate destiny of the world and the ultimate destiny and survival of Klal Yisrael. Hashem says, for that, I'm not commanding you to try to cure that. Making museums about the Holocaust ain't going to take away anti-Semitism, as we now see. The only one who can cure society for anti-Semitism is the Ribbono Shel Olam, b'chvado u'b'atzmai. Macha amcha, I will get rid of them. I will eradicate. Because the truth of the matter is, when they're trying to destroy you and the Torah, Jewish people, is kiyad al keskar, they're also aiming for the kisak covenant of Hashem, to make a war with me. And when you make wars with the Ribbono Shel Olam, you could be 100%, 1,000% guaranteed that the Ribbono Shel Olam is going to win. So don't try to eradicate anti-Semitism yourself. Malka Emka, I will take care of that part. What you got to take care of, Timcha, your self-defense. In the case of Megillas Esther, we were confronted with the concept not of only anti-Semitism, but the threat to our existence of all the men, women, children of the Persian Empire. With Siyata Deshmaya, we were able to mekayem the mitzvah of Timcha Zecha Amalek over there, eradicated that point in time. All the Amalekim of that society who tried to annihilate us, to show that Chiyuv historically, we read the Megillas Esther on the day that the events took place, to preface our entire involvement in the process of Timcha, and to get us aroused and realize when we have to involve in Timcha, the Shabbos before Purim, we read Parsha Zohar in Kiseitze, because those mitzvahs relate to us. Those are the mitzvahs enumerated by the Rambam and the Chinuch and their Sefer HaMitzvahs. But Malchav Emcha is not brought down as one of the Tayyag mitzvahs. And now you understand why. Because this is a mitzvah that Hashem says is His responsibility, eradicating anti-Semitism from the face of this earth. Only Hashem has the power to do such and the capabilities. And therefore we have to pray to Hashem. So He's helping us in our Timcha, that Hashem should carry out His Malcha Emcha as we come close to the end of Yemos HaMashiach and the eradication of this type of incredible hatred from the face of this earth. The whole Chalom of Yemos HaMashiach and the Tekufa afterwards is worldwide peace. No longer any Melchamas. No longer will nations come in warfare with one another. Surely they will not be able and will not want to threaten the Jewish people anymore. No more Shiva Hamalchias. We won't be subjugated to the world opinion. We won't have to worry about what the UN says or anybody else says about what the Jews do. We'll be totally independent, politically, on every level, living in peace and quiet. What we have to do is the Amanivchar. The rest of the world will respect us, honor us. They'll come to David and the Beis HaMikdash and bring Karbanos there. Beis Tefillin Korel Chol Amim. It'll be a different world order at that point in time, because Hashem will take care of the anti-Semitism, Malcho Imche. So that's the first part I want to point out to you. And because of this, the question that was brought down in the poskim, whether if I didn't hear Parsha Zohar on Kiseitze, can I be Yotze Parsha Zohar by reading the Parsha of Bishalach on the actual day of Purim before I read the Megillah? It also talks about Mechiyas Amalek. Maybe I can answer with that parsha. But based upon my presentation now, I think you know what the answer is. The mandate of Megillas Esther and Parsha Zohar is the Tencha dimension of our responsibility, our activism to eradicate it and protect ourselves against Amalekis. If that's the case, the only parsha that talks about that activity is Parshas Kisaitse. Parshas Bashav talks about Hashem's activities on his divine level and getting rid of anti-Semitism from the face of this earth and all the destructiveness that comes because of that ideology that doesn't relate to us on our personal level, on a global level, as the people existing in this world, it relates to us. But it's the mitzvah that HaKadosh Baruch and that our mitzvah. And that's why many Mefarshim say, you can't be Yotze with Parshas Bishalach. You must read Parshas Kisaitse to be Yotze the mitzvah of Parshas Zachar. This is part one of my shiur this morning. But now we're coming to part two. When you look in the Sefer Chinuch, and you look at the way he formulates the mitzvah of Zachar and Timcha, he says, in the Dini HaMitzvah, in Mitzvah Tov of Eish Dalit, he says very, very explicitly, if you find any Amaleki around, Ubol Yodo, and he comes into your Dalit Avos, and he's threatening you, and you can get rid of that Amaleki to stop threatening you, your family, or Klal Yisrael, get rid of that terrorist, you have a chiyuv to kill that person. And if you don't, you will be mevatel a mitzvah aseh. From the lotion of the chinuch would appear that we can identify Amaleki even bizman hazeh. And in fact, to even bring a bigger proof to this, I want to quote you the Rambam in Hilchas Malachim, Perek Hei, Halacha Hei, and contrast it to Halacha Dalit, and give you over an incredible yisod, articulated initially to Reb Chaim of Brisk, and then to mention what my Rebbe Yosef Soloveitchik, his Einikel, said in his famous Maimer, Kol Dodi Dofek, to embellish what his Zayda said. So listen very carefully. In the Rambam's Hilchas Malachim, where he quotes the mitzvahs, he says, the mitzvah of killing the seven Canaanite nations that lived in Eretz Yisrael at the time of the kibush of Yeshua, Klal Yisrael, of Eretz Canaan, Eretz Yisrael, the Torah has the mitzvah of Hachrim Tachrimein, and you have to kill them, mitzvah say. If you don't, you violate all the mitzvah say, but you violate lo say. All those Zachayat Kol Neshamar. But then the Rambam says, but we got one problem. There might be a mitzvah in our Torah to do it, but we can't identify who the seven nations are ethnically, genealogically. Why? So the Mefarshim explained that in the Tekufa of Melech Asher Sancheriv during Bayis Lisha, he was conquering the world, replacing populations from one country to another country, taking a population from one country and putting them in unfamiliar territory. This way, you divide and conquer to have superior military might over people when they're not living in their own terrain. They're put in a foreign country. And the Mishnah says, Masefnes Yadayim on his activities, who bilbalus kol umas. He mixed up the ethnic origin of all the nations of the world, so we no longer know who in fact are the Moavim, or the Ammonim, or the Mitzvim. They've lost their identification. Anybody who are part of the seven Canaanite nations can no longer identify because when Sacheriv did, and therefore you can't technically mekayim this mitzvah, Hachrim Tachrimein, because you can't identify the origin, ethnically, of these groups of people mentioned in the seven nations of the Torah. But when he describes the next halach, halach, hey, the mitzvah, Nefiyas Amalek, there's the mitzvah Timcha Zeifas Amalek. The Rambam never qualifies and says that Bizman Hazeh Kavah Avad Zifron. We can't identify Amaleki anymore. It seems quite obvious that you can identify Amaleki Bizman Hazeh. And the fact is, the Sefer Chinuch also seems to say that as well. So the obvious question is, why don't we apply the principle Kavah Zifron? The same with the seven nations were displaced by Sancheriv for Malchus Asher. He also displaced the Amalekim of that generation, put them in different countries. So why do we say Kavah Avad Zichron and you can't identify Maleki anymore? What's going on over here? Why are the Shiva Umites no longer identifiable, but somehow the Amalekim are still identifiable? This is the million-dollar question which Rav Chaim Soloveitchik of Bris asked concerning the Hesber of this Rambam. The Teretz that Rav Chaim gives is remarkable and very, very powerful. He points out by the fact that the Rambam and others do not say that Bezman is that we can't technically get rid of Amalek because we no longer know who they are, proves to us that they're still identifiable. But how is it possible? They were dispersed someplace else during the time of Sanherif. So is Mechadish Rav Chaim. The two types of Amalekim we can get rid of. First, the known genealogical Mishpacha of the Amalekim. You know they're Amalekim, you know the Yichas, you know who they are. Haman HaRosha was identified in the Psukim of Megillas Esther as a definite Miuchis Amaleki, going back from Shonim Kadmonius to the Melech of Amalek at the time of Shaul, as I mentioned before. So his eradication was a definite certainty. You don't have to have any speak-ups, because the Torah, the Rabbanishim gave in Ruach HaKadosh a definite statement. He's from the Zera Amalek on a geological level. But there's another type of Amaleki. Not a genealogical Amaleki, but an ideological Amaleki. They have the ideology of the Amaleks. Now, the Chiddush Rav Chaim is, if I can find the group of non-Jews who are manifestations of the ideology of the Amalekim, even though genealogically there's no connection, the mitzvah Timchas Ech Amalek applies not only to a genealogical Amaleki, it applies even to an ideological Amaleki. The mitzvah of Timcha Zech Amalek still applies Bizman Hazeh. If you can say an ideological Amalek, who I'm going to define very shortly, comes under the mitzvah of Timcha, the fact they're not genealogically connected allows us to ignore what the Rambam said when it comes to the Shiva Umaus, because they're the Shiva Umaus, our genealogical mitzvah. It got to be the seven nations and nobody else. Amalek, if you have a genealogical one, okay, you have one. But if it's an ideological Amalek, the mitzvah Timcha still applies to them on all levels. And the mitzvah is still applicable ad hayom hazeh in a practical, conceptual, and practical way. Now, what is the ideological Amalek, or the Rig Amalek? What is their ideology? In the Megillah, which was what obviously the Machshavas of Haman HaRosha and his thugs, Lahashmin, La'arun Abed, Eskwal HaYehudim, to destroy, annihilate, total genocide of the men, women, children of the Persian Empire, which represented the populated world at that time, of most of the peoples living in the world, which were under the Persian Empire's domain. They preached total destruction and eradication of the Jewish people. The Jew, his religion, what he stands for, regardless of male, female, adult or child, everything has to be eradicated. And Haman and his thugs tried to do this. But what's fascinating, Rav Chaim says, that when the Jews were facing, on the day that they were given the right to defend themselves, as later on the nest took place, for Napachu, and the king Achashverosh gave Mordechai and Esther, the Jewish people, the right to stand up for their rights, self-defense, and get rid of all people who are threatening your life, we see thousands of people that were destroyed in the military conflict between the Jews of that time and the anti-Semites of the Persian Empire. But what's fascinating is the only anti-Semite that's identified explicitly in the Pasuk as being an Amaleki was Haman HaRosha. If you look in the Targum, the Aramaic Targum of the Megillas Esther, every time it mentions in the Pasuk, the Jews destroyed this group of anti-Semites and that group of anti-Semites, the Targum says, who are these anti-Semites? They call them Amalekim. Even though the Psukim in Megillas Esther don't mention the Yichus to Amalek, only to Haman does they mention it. But the Targum says, based upon Teirah Shem Lepeh, every guy anti-Semite who wanted to kill him in the Targum is identified as Amaleki. So Chai says, you know why? They might not have been genealogical Amalekim, like Haman, but they were ideological Amalekim who wanted to adhere to the concept La'ashmid la'abed as kol ha'yehudim, total genocide. Since they adhere to that concept, they might have been genealogical Amalekim, but they were ideological Amalekim. And as I mentioned before, Shemir Chaim, according to the Rambam, the mitzvah of Timcha Amalek still applies to them to this very day. That's what Rechaim says is the chiddush, why Timcha is applicable even in the 21st century. But to clarify this, and to make this even more explicit, I want to end this year today with a statement which my Rebbe, Rav Chaim Soloveitchik Zatzal's son, my dear Rebbe, Rav Yosef Dovid Levi Soloveitchik Zatzal, what he expands upon this in his famous theological piece called Kol Dodi Dafek, Reflections on the Holocaust and Post-Holocaust. And in it, he makes the following statement concerning what's happening in Eretz Israel today. Listen very carefully. These are the words of my dear Rebbe Zatzal, or of Soloveitchik. He says, a crisis has been taken the land of Eretz Israel b'zman hazeh. It's not just a question of the political future of Eretz Israel. The designs of the Arabs are directed not just against the political sovereignty of the state of Israel, but against the very existence of the Yishuv and the land of Israel. They wish to destroy, chas v'shalom, the entire community of Jews that are there, rachmana litzlan, both men, women, infant, and suckling, ox and sheep, quoting a pasuk from Sefer Shmuel. A Soloveitchik gave a major drasha upon this during a major convention, and he points out that the Arabs are actually the ideological Amalekim of today's contemporary generation. He points out that in the beginning of the 1900s, who were the Amalekim then? Hitler Yimach Shemam and the Nazis Yimach Shemam were then the Amalekim, the standard bearers of insane hatred and enmity. Today their place has been taken over by the mobs of Nasser and Mufti, the Palestinians of the Arab nations. We have to realize that they are the ideological Amalekim of our generation without a question. In fact, what Soloveitchik says, this concept of them being Amalekim and want to destroy us is mentioned in an explicit kapitel contained in Sefer Tehillim, which I want you to look up after this year. In Kapitel Pei Gimel, number 83, let me read you a couple of psukim over here, and you'll see what I mean. It says, Ki ne'avecha yamoyon nesanecha nostin rosh. There's a tremendous tumult taking place by our enemies and your enemies against the Jewish people. Al am chayil mesod. There's an entire conspiracy. Yisyatu sefanecha. They're trying quite obviously to, beneath the cover of shade, conspire against us. What do they say? Amru l'chul v'nachid migoy. Let us cut off the Jews from being in existence of a nation. Lo yizach Hashem Yisrael. The name of Klai will no longer be remembered. Now, who are these people conspiring? Pasuk Vav. Kinoos Oled Yaakov. They've come to counsel one another. Alev the Brisky Cross, they've made a covenant amongst themselves. Who are they? Ole Edom Yishmaelim. The tents of Edom and the Yishmaelim, the Arab world. Moav Agrim, so let's mention the nations, Moav and Agrim. Gaval Va'amain. Amalek, Peleshes, Am Yoshe Tzar, the Pelishtim, maybe the Palestinians, Gamash and Ilam, even Assyria, has joined in with them. All of these nations are conspiring together for one thing, to destroy the Jewish people, Rachman al-Islan, L'chuv and Achidem Igai, L'zach Shem Yisraud, that's the same thing, L'hash V'arabi's Kol HaYehudim, in the Megillah Esther. These are looked upon as ideological Amalekim, even if they're not Amalek in genealogy. And the mitzvah of Timcha Amalek applies to them, as Soloveitchik says, B'Shem Reb Chaim, even to this very day. Let's not fool ourselves. Let's not worry about what the liberals say, who continually criticize us, the left-wingers, have nothing more to do but to make us the most dangerous people on the face of this earth, ignoring what all the Hezbollah and Hamas and all the ICE, everybody else, what they do, means nothing. The Jews are at fault. These same left-wing liberals were totally apathetic during the Holocaust and they're still apathetic to this very day with what's going on in Eretz Israel. And the Rabbi Nishim says, Kindelach, you're never going to appease these ideological Amalekim and change their hashkafa. That's my responsibility. Malchu Emcha. I'm going to take care of them in time. But you as Jews have a responsibility of self-defense. You're being pursued either in open warfare on the battlefield or in guerrilla terrorist tactics. Your mitzvah device is Timcha Zecha Malek. Be militarily prepared. Fight the battle, even though it seems to be impossible, as the Six-Day War seemed to be, as HaKamas Medina surely seemed to be, outnumbered on all levels. Six-Day War, we were a little more prepared, but we still were outnumbered on all the fronts. But the impossible became possible. With Siyata Deshmaya, open miracles, as the Gedolim who lived at that time write in their Ksavim concerning the Six-Day War alone. Nisim Niflas, we witness, because of Siyata Deshmava Kaddish Baruch Hu, wanting us to return to Eretz Israel, and for us to be redeemed, Kibbutz Galios. The nefarious Machshavas of our Sonim of the Amalekim of the 21st century, the Ribbono Shel Olam says, they have no might or power against the Ribbono Shel Olam. Rabbeis Machshavas Belevish, people can think what they want to think, and scheme what they want to scheme. Atzas Hashem Yisokum, but what Hashem wants to happen, Hashem's in control to orchestrate and make sure that it does. If that's the case, our mandate is to be inspired by Pasha Zachar, be on guard, look at world history of the past and the present, be ready to fight the fight and the battle the battle, take a proof what happened during the Persian Empire's Megillas Esther miracle of Purim, and realize anybody betting at the time would have thought the Persian Empire and the anti-Semites would win out. Didn't happen. Rabbi Smashel Belevish, Haman thought with Achashverosh and the other anti-Semites, the Jewish problem would be taken care of, but Atzas Hashem Sikom, it never happened. The Rabbi Shem Napa who changed it and gave us victory on all the fronts. And the second base in English was built as a result of the Yitzachon of the Nes of Purim. We want the third base of Yiddish to be built. We have to be as brave and as maminim, which are those Linebitach and Hashem, as our forefathers and our ancestors were going back to the time of antiquity, the time of Purim, be willing to fight the fight and do the battle that's necessary to protect our citizens, our men, women, and children on every level. Let's hope and pray that the message of my shir today will emanate from the shir and be spread around the community and around the world, that our mandate is not the eradication of anti-Semitism. That's Hashem's mandate. Macho imcha. Pashas b'shalach. Our mandate is Pashas kiseitze. Timcha. Protect yourself. Fight the impossible battle. And you will win because Hashem, atzas Hashem hisaku. Please take this to heart. Don't give up. Don't be disheartened. Our emuni b'tachem HaKadosh Baruch Hu, as always, geared us in the right direction. Let's hope and pray that the ultimate promises in Sefer Avadya, where Hashem says the Esev Melucha and all the Yotzei Sharashav, the Amalekim that emanated from Malchus Adayim, will be eradicated from the face of this earth. Hashem will do it before the Biatzma Mochemcha. Let's hope and pray we'll see this feeling our days and the Tekufa of redemption, peace, and shalom for every member of Klal Yisrael should be realized by Tzeinah HaKadosha, Kibbutz Galuyos, Bias Mashiach, Binyan Beis HaMikdash, B'Mamein B'Mamein, a wonderful Simchas Yom Tov of Purim, U'Lashana Bav Yerushalayim HaBanuya. Thank you, everybody. Have a wonderful week, and enjoy your Simchas Purim. Next week, you're going to be having Simchas Purim rather hearing a shir. You're going to live the shir by hearing the Megillah read and realize how you're supposed to react.
You have been listening to a presentation of BensTorah.com.